Welcome to the Pepper Loud Podcast.
And welcome to the Pepper Loud Podcast. Monday, July 18th, 2016, show number 200.
Here are your hosts, Steve and Lee.
Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Lee in New York, and I'm boss man Steve. Steve, the 200th show.
The 200th episode. We really should have, in theory, hit 200 like 3 years ago, but whatever.
This should be show 500.
Yeah, so.
But just like a pitcher who tears his elbow and has to have Tommy John surgery, take the long road of rehab.
Yeah,
this podcast had to go through some rehab.
We were like kind of on the Jared Parker path where we'd start doing it and like our elbow would crack like every time. So
we're at the Drew Pomeranz of podcast.
Oh. Hey, what do you think about that trade?
I don't like it.
It was a pretty steep asking price for a guy who's been good for like a month.
Don't like it at all. I'm pretty sure Dave Dombrowski still works for the Tigers, and this is all just an elaborate scheme.
So they give up
some weekend the Red Sox.
They gave up like a top five pitching prospect. I mean, granted, he's 18, so who the hell knows what happens? But
fact that he was 18 though, and he was like a legit top two pitching prospect, top 20 prospect overall on everyone's list. That's a little terrifying.
They traded him for a guy that got like released by the Indians like 2 years ago.
I know.
It was, and like they also said like he was like in negotiations for Rich Hill. Like, didn't they let Rich Hill walk just last year?
Yeah, Rich Hill has been like shuttled in and like in and out of the Red Sox, it feels like, for the last couple of years.
Like that would, that trade, I don't know. And he, you know what Dombrowski also did? He fucked over every other buyer. And that's why I think like the Rays kind of floated Chris Archer's name out there. If you're like, if Drew Pomeranz can get you that, God knows what Chris Archer would get you.
Yep.
That's why if you have a remotely good starter, like put him on the market. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like I don't understand what Dombrowski's doing.
It's a little, I saw the Boston sports media put their arms up and start yelling at Dombrowski. So that makes me think, okay, maybe it actually was a good trade, since a lot of morons were saying it's a terrible trade.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we as Red Sox fans have been hearing about this Espinosa guy for...
can't be too long. He's only 18.
No, but that's the thing. Like, even when they immediately signed him, everyone was like, whoa, this guy's incredible. Like,
Pedro Martinez comes.
I know. You had Pedro Martinez himself saying he reminds me of me.
That's totally unfair to that kid, too, by the way.
Totally unfair, but...
It's like when Didi Gregorius is covered, like, oh, this guy reminds me a lot of Derek Jeter.
All the baseball prospectus, Keith Law, a lot of Fangraph guys were all saying this guy is legit, and he's only 18. Or at the time, he was like 16 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is his MO, trading top prospects for guys to win now.
Do you know Drew Pomeranz has already hit his career high in innings?
I know, and it's like 104 innings or something.
Yeah. Oof. And also, he regained his value pitching in Petco, which I wonder if that's a coincidence.
And all of his road state, people are like, oh, his road splits are good. Yeah, I'm like... Dodger Stadium, which is
San Francisco,
pretty big. San Fran, which is pretty big.
Besides Colorado,
the fact that the National League sucks. Yeah, so I hate this trade for so many reasons. Because let me ask you this: if you're a Padres fan, like if you're like a hardcore,
do I give a
Padres
shit
fan,
if I'm a Padres fan?
So I was going to preface that by saying you are an actual knowledgeable Padres fan, which is a unicorn, I'm sure. But say you are one of those, you're like, this is awesome. We just got like a top 15 prospect for this scrub guy who, when he was signed in the winter, I was like, maybe he'd be good in the bullpen or like spot starting. Like, that's incredible.
The fact that Dombrowski is basically, like, he inherited a top five farm system, and he has given like three of his top prospects to the Padres for Craig Kimbrel and Drew Pomeranz in like a 5 month span.
If like,
he has single-handedly bailed out AJ Preller.
That's like the other thing. I didn't even think about that. I mean, at the end of the day, we walked away with Craig Kimbrel, who's been mediocre and now is now hurt, and a shit a guy who's just not going to be he's not going to be an ace. This is not going to be a Jay
Cutler. No, he's going to get if the first time he faces like the Orioles or the Blue Jays, it's going to be bad.
And then wait till he starts getting booed, because everyone knows that we just gave up like one of the best pitching prospects we've had in many years for this guy. Because I was reading, like, people were like, oh, you know, Henry Owens.
Henry Owens.
I can name, like, 20 other shitty prospects that the Red Sox have had, pitching prospects. And, like, none of these guys had the same, again, not that I'm watching this guy pitch, too, but nobody was ranked this high. And nobody had, like, this much hype at the age of 18.
Like, no, not from a pitch, like, position players, yeah, like, and yes. Bogarts, you know, Bogarts, Betts, those guys have turned into superstars, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, top prospects, like, I think more, like, sometimes you get, like, a Dustin Ackley and Justin Smoke situation, but most of the time it works out.
Yep.
Yeah, horrible trade. That, it almost made me want the Yankees to, like, put, like, Tanaka out there, and if I'm the White Sox, maybe even put, like, Chris Sale out there. If I'm, like, middling team that looks looking to sell, and I have an ace. Like, what's the harm in at least like floating their name out there?
Yeah.
If Drew Pomeranz can get you that, like, what could a legitimately good pitcher get you?
Oh, I'm like disgusted thinking about it.
What if Dombrowski just has just ruined the baseball landscape?
We walked away with the best closer, and
he's not even he's like the fourth best closer in his division. Yeah. No, fifth. I forgot about Zach Britton. So.
And a mediocre pitcher from what's basically a last place ball club.
I wouldn't even say mediocre. I'd say a bad pitcher.
This is not going to get it. I mean, he is like Rich Hill, though, too, in a way. Like, when Rich Hill was...
Rich Hill did reinvent his career. I'll give Rich Hill a ton of credit.
Yeah.
So. But also, he's 36. If they let him walk and then traded a top prospect to bring him back, that would have been amazing. Mm-hmm. I think I would have liked that even more than Drew Pomeranz.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, when other teams are laughing at you, it's not a good feeling.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, like, the Red Sox for years have been praised for their shrewd moves, even though a lot of them haven't worked out in the past few years. But this is going to be a lot different than the Theo regime, I think. Yeah. With Theo, I would always ask myself, would Theo Epstein make this trade?
Probably not. No.
If he was running the Padres, he probably would do it.
Yeah. That's a move. Congratulations to AJ Greller, because, yeah, good for him.
Oh, Preller. He went from guy Preller, who was like looking like he's going to get canned because ownership had him. Like, he got ridiculed for like making all these horrible trades like last year, and now everything has really turned out pretty good for him.
Mm-hmm. Dave Dombrowski's won one World Series.
And that was with the fire sale Marlins.
Yeah.
Give him credit. He got close with Detroit a couple times.
That's true.
But
well, I'm not too pleased, and show 200 is off to a negative note, not a positive note, but that's all right. We'll push through as we look at the winners and losers in our weekend review type of podcast here on July 18th. We missed last week's show. That's an E5.
Yeah, we should already be at show 201 at least. I was sitting here waiting for you and be like, where the fuck is this guy?
Once we get to those end of the week shows, I get a little tired, I have to say, of waking up at 6 a.m.
No passion for the fans.
So yeah, sorry we missed Thursday's show, and this week we're going to do shows Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, off on Thursday and Friday. So again, today's our kind of weekend review show, winners and losers, and some daily recap shows starting on Tuesday and Wednesday. So Steve, let's hop into the winners and losers from the weekend. We've already gone over one loser in the Red Sox for the Drew Pomeranz for Anderson Espinosa
trade.
Hey,
they
trade.
Took two out of three from the Yankees at least.
But yeah, they were winners. You watched all three games? I only saw
no, I watched yesterday's game, and that's it.
Any major takeaways from that series? Should the Yankees sell?
The Yankees, well, that's their big thing. We'll call them losers because apparently, and I read an article from ESPN New York's Wallace Matthews, who is a freaking blowhard and a half, but he does have some good sources where the baseball people for the Yankees, Brian Cashman and Cooter, like, we got to blow this thing up. Like, and they probably see these Anderson Espinosa-type trades and be like, man, we could probably get a lot for, like, Andrew Miller, for example. Like, the market has just been reset. But
oh, my God, I'd rather have Andrew Miller than Drew Pomeranz.
I'd rather have Andrew Miller as a starter than Drew Pomeranz.
I know.
But the baseball
same
people...
draft, too, I think.
But yeah. Sorry. Well, Pomeranz, I think, was a first-round pick in 2010.
Yeah.
Now, Andrew Miller's older than that.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
He was, like, in the Miggy, both, yeah. He was in the Miggy deal, so...
Oh, okay. True, true.
But the only two people who don't want the Yankees to sell, Hal Steinbrenner and Randy Levine, because they're worried about TV ratings and the gate when... you have to think about it. Who the fuck... Like, I missed two games of this series. I could not care less. Like, who wants to watch CeCe Sabathia struggle to throw... about 90 miles per hour. Like, who wants to see, you know, Mark Teixeira staggering around? Like, just trade these guys, rebuild the system. Like, look at Texas, look at Boston, look at Chicago. Like, these are teams that hit rock bottom, sold off pieces, and then we're able to reap. That's the beauty of being a large market team. Like, you can reload very quickly. It's not like you're the Cleveland Indians where it's just like your rebuild's going to take 4 years. Like, it's driving me nuts that they won't listen to their baseball people. And I think this weekend was a perfect example of why they had to sell, because besides yesterday's game where Tanaka was awesome last night, they tagged David Price for 11 hits. They only got 3 runs out of it. Like, the team isn't good. They just aren't good. And they have those two amazing bullpen assets that they should be... Like, I love Andrew Miller, but trade him now. And... You know, Carlos Beltran, every time he, like, hits the ball and he starts running, I'm just waiting for his hamstring to explode. So just trade these guys before it's too late. And Chapman makes no sense to keep around. Like, just trade him. Trade him.
This story came out late last week, but the New York Mets on the SNY network here locally in New York, the local cable sports network, 278,000 viewers versus... Yes Network, and which carries the New York Yankees games, which is 219,000. So about a 60,000 person differential. The Mets have only
beaten... That seems very low for both. That's just the New York City area?
I feel like
there's 270,000 bars alone in New York that would have that game on.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, so that's... Let's see here. That's 27% more, 60,000 more viewers. But... Comcast and the Yes Network have been in a dispute, so the Yankees numbers probably skewed down a little bit. But
man,
still,
Comcast put a good year to fuck with the Yankees.
I know, right? So I think to your point about the Yankees really feeling like we need to fill seats, we need to make we can't get too decimated in the TV ratings because then people won't watch next year as well if we kind of...
Well, who's gonna watch if it's these same crappy players? Besides Didi Gregorius,
I don't think they have the tools. Like, it's not that it's not the late 90s anymore where you could work over a team. There are too many smart GMs.
There are too many smart GMs. There's no more Dave. There's not a lot of Dave Stewarts out there. Who Shelby Miller, by the way, demoted to the bullpen.
If Anderson Espinosa is the price for Drew fucking Pomeranz, how are the Yankees ever going to get a star into their team? It's going to have to be through free agency.
Good free agents don't hit the market anymore.
Exactly.
Well, the Buster Olney during the broadcast last night said that, like, the Yankees, I mean, this is true, they have no incentive to trade Andrew Miller, where they cash him basically, like, any team that calls him, like, say the Cubs call him, he puts the price, he's like, it's going to cost you Kyle Schwarber and some other things, like, take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. And, like, meanwhile, like, if it's, like, a guy like Chapman who's going to be a free agent, that's, like, negotiable. But I kind of like that stance by Cashman. Like, why... Should he trade Andrew Miller if he still has him for 2 more years? Mm-hmm. Like, get that top prospect. Get, like, a guy like Joey Gallo or Kyle Schwarber.
Yep.
Like, the market's been set. Like, if you want... And if I'm the Cubs, like, Andrew Miller could be, like, the difference maker between winning the World Series. So, it's kind of a big deal. Like, trade for the guy with the... I don't really want Kyle Schwarber, but what can you do?
I agree. It's... we'll see if they... I think they'll...
I think the Yankees will come to their senses and sell.
It feels like they should, especially when you see these asking prices for Pomerantz, so Miller, Chapman.
Yeah, if I'm Cashman, this is how I present it. So they pretty much have the names that you always hear are the Miller, Chapman, Beltran, Eovaldi, and Pineda. Those are, and you would think like Eovaldi and Pineda suck, but they still have like pretty good stuff. And you just saw what Drew Pomerantz got. There is a legit case you can make that all five of those guys can net you at least one top 100 prospect apiece.
Yeah.
Like, you could really rebuild your system pretty nicely with those guys. Hell, throw in Brett Gardner, too, you can probably get another 100, top 100 prospect.
Agreed.
So it makes no sense to keep these guys.
The Yankees host a four-game set against the Baltimore Orioles and three games against the San Francisco Giants. The Orioles are leading the American League East still by two games. So
yeah, this schedule's brutal.
If they lose three out of four here, and then they play team that's going to be mad that they just actually got swept by the Padres.
High off that Espinoza trade.
Yeah. So say they could easily lose three out of four against the Orioles and two out of three against the Giants. So
Drew Hardy referred to yesterday's game as a must-win situation on July 17th.
Well, they did. Tanaka pitched pretty well last night, it appears. I didn't get to see too much, but wow, attendance was down for that game,
too. The place looks pretty full.
Sunday night game, but
those Sunday night games are horrible.
Yeah, I was looking at tickets, but I was like, I wouldn't get home until like midnight or whatever. So
yeah, like a 7 o'clock game sucks to go to. Like, can't imagine what an 8 o'clock game's like.
Yeah, so that's a loser of the weekend right there. San Francisco Giants coming off the All-Star break, getting swept by the Padres. Unbelievable. Padres are 10 games below 500 still. If you're a Giants fan, I wouldn't worry too much as you still got a 5.5 game lead. Best team record in the National League. So in good shape there, but pretty incredible to get swept by the Padres after after what's been a great first half of the season for the Giants. Mm-hmm. Some other winners and losers here. I believe the Angels swept the White Sox over the weekend.
Only the White Sox can't score a run.
Yeah, one run in the series. 16-1 were the total runs.
And let's not act like the Angels are some like pitching juggernaut either. They made Matt Shoemaker look like a superstar.
Yeah, big bearded Matt Shoemaker went the distance the other day. 13 strikeouts.
You see, they wore those sweet 70s jerseys.
Yeah, those are nice. I like those.
Those are real nice.
Yeah, the font looks like
it's a little different though. At what they actually looked like.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, the A's a little skinnier on the new ones.
I was seeing, we should have gotten over this, I guess, probably before the, around the All-Star break, but baseball player futures were up. I know I'm getting to win with Lee, I should say, a little bit early here, but for the American League MVP, Mike Trout is not the favorite, I think.
Like,
let me see is it not up still? It's not up still. I believe it was Josh Donaldson, who's also having a great season as well.
The All-Star break ruins everything.
It was Donaldson in my sports book at least. And if you look at the WAR leaders, they're actually pretty close at 5.6 and 5.5.
Trout's not going to the postseason though. Probably neither is Donaldson. So
yeah. So Trout's at 5.6 wins above replacement, Donaldson at 5.5. Both leading all of baseball with Chris Bryant in third. So if you could have gotten that bet down, if you can still find it, I would try to make that bet.
Yeah. I got a loser.
What you got?
I got the Pittsburgh Pirates as losers. Despite the fact that they won yesterday against the Nationals, the Nationals took the first two games of the series. Steven Strasburg becoming who we always thought he would be, just a dominant monster this season. He improved to, let me just pull those up, he improved to 13-0 after out-dueling, quote-unquote, Francisco Liriano, who's really struggling this year for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's pitching, outside of Garrett Cole, has been not good. Jonathan Neese and Francisco Liriano really pooping their pants, which is why they've been linked to Nathan Eovaldi. They think that they're going to be the team that finally gets that talent out of Eovaldi, so we'll see. But they did win yesterday, at least 18 innings. They had an absolute backbreaker when, with two strikes and two outs in the ninth inning, Daniel Murphy hit a tying home run. And then, they got to play an entire extra game after that, which is always a lot of fun, too. But the Pirates win on a Starling Marte 18th inning home run to win 2-1. But they're at kind of a make or break moment right now. And you know, you hear the rumblings that Andrew McCutchen is potentially on the trading block. So what could you possibly like? You'd have to give up what, like 3 top 100 prospects for Andrew McCutchen?
Dombrowski really screwed up the market for
everybody. I'm trying to even think. Like, I mean, McCutchen's good, but I don't want to say he's on the decline, but I almost like feel like he's. I don't think he's the best outfielder on the Pirates anymore. I think Marte and Polanco are kind of level with him.
What about the Yanks going after him? This is what I'm talking about. Stars don't hit the market in any way.
How old is he? Like, he's over 30 now, I think, right?
He's probably like 30, 31. I'll tell you in a second here. He is 29.
Oof. Maybe I would go for him.
Mm-hmm.
He struggled this year, but, I mean, yeah, he's still a superstar.
Yeah.
But if I'm a team like if I'm a rebuilding team, I don't know if I would go for him. But if I'm a team like the Red Sox, if I'm Dombrowski, I just say fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, instead of having Brock Holt play left field, go have an outfield of Betts, Bradley, and McCutchen.
That'd be pretty solid.
Dang, that's pretty damn good. Jackie Bradley Jr., God bless him. He's turned his life around.
So what was he threw?
Okay, so yesterday's game, runner on second. I think Ellsbury flares one to center. Bradley does like a deke, but then it drops in. He gets the ball. I can't remember who was running. I want to say it was maybe like Didi Gregorius, but Bradley goes to throw it home. And when he like does the crow step and then throws it like out of the hand, like I don't have the exact size. It looked like it went 1,000 miles an hour though. And then it was like on a line. And then out of like, I started to see Sandy Leon at catcher, like not even move. And I'm like, man, this is gonna be a perfect throw. And it went, I'm not kidding, like 30 feet over Leon's head. And like, it went like above the backstop. It was amazing. I've never seen a throw like that before. Obviously the run scored, but it was amazing.
There's this famous clip back when Jackie Bradley Jr. sucked, or was inconsistent, I should say. He crow hopped from like behind home plate at Fenway Park and threw it over the center field wall. And the center field wall in Fenway Park is like 20 feet tall, too.
Oh, so. That too. I don't know if I could hit a golf ball over.
Impressive. Impressive. So, Steve, do you have your baseball standings open? And while you pull those open,
I do have them.
I'm going to tell you why. So there have been 25 teams who have qualified for the postseason after posting a winning percentage of .500 or worse before the All-Star break, including 16 teams that have done so in the wild card era.
The Rangers just last year.
So, Steve, looking at teams that are at or below .500 right now, which team to you smells like a team that could make the postseason?
The Mariners at 46-46, just because they have Cano, Cruz, Felix, they have like the pieces there.
Yep.
I don't know if I would really decide it. Yeah. Kansas City at 46-45. We know what they're capable of. They're kind of having a weird season though. Like I don't really buy the Indians. I think they're a team that really, if any team needs to make a move, it's them. They need some outfield help now. Pittsburgh's kind of on the cusp of 47-45. Their pitching is just not good. St. Louis is kind of in the same boat, 47-44. The only problem with them is that Chicago's already so far ahead of them. And that's about it. I mean, there's also, you know, like the White Sox are 45-46, the Yankees at 45-46. I don't really believe in either of those teams. And yeah, every other team's pretty solidly over .500.
What about the Angels? 12 games under.
12 right games now. Under. No, the Angels are probably. I'm not kidding. I think the Angels are the worst team in baseball.
They only have a -5 run differential.
Really?
Yep.
Well, Trout alone's probably leveled that out.
Yeah.
That's when people are like, "Oh, Trout didn't make the playoffs." Like, look at his team. Jared Weaver throws 63 miles an hour.
The Cardinals have a plus 90 run differential, and they're only three games above 500.
I think the Cardinals are way better than they are. What's their Pythagorean?
I don't know, but they are 33-1 to win the World Series right now. So they may be worth a bet right there.
Well, right, if the season ends today, they wouldn't be in the wild card game. It would be the Dodgers versus... this would be awesome. There would be a one-game playoff between the Mets and the Marlins, and then the winner of that one-game playoff would get the Dodgers in another one-game playoff. Just end the season today.
So the Mariners, 33-1 as well. One of the teams that Steve mentioned right there. And, those are some of your longer shots. You don't think the Marlins can do it? I'm a little skeptical myself.
I think the Marlins are pretty good.
Well, the Marlins and the Royals are both 40-1, so some decent odds for you there. So
what's Baltimore? Four
teams to look at. Baltimore is 12-1.
If there's a team that needs a freaking ace, my God.
The Red Sox are 12-1 as well. The Cubs remain the favorite at 4-1. Indians. See,
I'm kind of off the Cubs bandwagon now. They have been crappy for like a solid month now.
They have. I do worry about that pitching in the postseason if Arrieta can't figure it out. Because then you're relying on John Lester, who's good. He's very good. He's having a good season. But
And Lackey, too.
And John Lackey, exactly.
If I'm Billy Beane, I think Billy Beane thinks he's too smart. He's kind of ruined the league because now everyone kind of follows his path. And I think he's a legitimately crappy GM now. With Sonny Gray and Rich Hill, I think if I'm the Cubs or the Orioles, I'm calling him like every hour on the hour, making an offer. But he's too smart for his own good now.
I would agree. Let's see, the other favorites, Giants are 5.25-1.
See, I'm in on the Giants right now.
It is an even year. Nationals are 7-1. Indians are 7.5-1. The Texas Rangers are 9-1. Dodgers 11-1. Astros 14-1. Red Sox Orioles 12-1. So those are your favorites.
I think I would put it as I would put the Nats, the Rangers, and the Indians as the three that I would probably want to face the least in the playoffs.
Yeah,
definitely the Indians last. Their starting pitching, I think, is a difference maker.
I think Rangers, Giants, I mean, they are the two kind of top teams, so I'm not going out on a limb right now, but they do have good teams on paper, and their records, obviously, are the best. So
I'm seeing the Giants tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, they're making this East Coast swing, right?
Yeah, tomorrow at Fenway is Catholic Night. That's the promotion, Catholic Night.
Okay.
Every fan under 12 gets molested.
They're going to show a spotlight on the big screen after the game.
You get there early, you can watch Spotlight.
You can make that joke because you are a Catholic.
Yeah, see, there we go. I went to Catholic school for a long time. Never molested, but a lot of priests have disappeared. So... And not medical looking back at him, like, holy crap.
Medical leave, Steve. That's the correct term.
Yeah, you got sick. Let's go make it. And like, we would make them cards and everything. It's horrible.
Oh, really?
I didn't know. Like, after they would leave, and they'd be like, oh, they're sick. Like, let's go make them cards.
Whoa.
Yeah, and like, looking back on it, you're just like, holy moly. Like, some kid I went to school with definitely had horrible things done to him.
Oh, terrible.
But anyway, Catholic night at Fenway Park tomorrow.
Highly recommend Spotlight, too. Yeah. It won the Oscar, right?
Yeah, it won Best Oscar for Best Picture.
Yeah. Good movie there.
They drove past my office in that movie.
Well, see, that brings us to the end of show number 200. What a way to go out. What are you looking forward to in tonight's action, Steve,
as we look ahead? I closed the app. I thought we were done.
I'll take you through some games. So, Steve talked about... Red Sox.
They're off today.
Giants. That's tomorrow. JPV versus Rick Porcello.
I know. I got a marquee matchup.
So Monday, July 18th. Not a full slate. Looks like we have about 12 games going on. All nighttime action. There's an ESPN game tonight. The Mets at the Chicago Cubs.
Mets and Cubs. All three games are on ESPN.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of don't like that.
Good ratings for ESPN, two major markets.
Yeah, but I kind of don't like that.
Tonight we have Steven Matz against John Lester. Other aces on the mound tonight.
Kluber.
Chris Sale versus Wade LeBlanc in the nightcap.
I'm going to call Wade LeBlanc an ace.
Sorry, you're Kluber?
Yeah, Kluber versus the Royals. I'm kind of excited about that one. You know, Kansas City, make or break time. In Cleveland, assert your dominance in the division. I like it.
Jose Fernandez against Aaron Nola, 7:05. Marlins, Phillies as well. Not really sure why you'd want to watch that game other than to see Jose Fernandez, but...
Oh, well, you can watch Tampa Bay at Colorado tomorrow, or tonight, too. That's Drew Smyly coming in with a 2-10 record with a 5.47 ERA. Makes his Coors Field debut.
There it is. There's the bet of the night right there. Let's see what the over-under is on that game. The
over-under is... Rocky's going to put 12 runs up.
It's 11.5.
Yes.
There it is. Hashtag
Drew Smyly alone is going to give 11.5 runs.
I may wait until I see the Rockies team runs. The Rockies will probably be 6.5 then. Something like that. Mm-hmm. 6 or 5. So maybe I'll do over on the Rockies instead. Well, Steve, that brings us to the end of show number 200. If you like what you hear, you can find us on Twitter at Pepper_Loud, Stitcher, iTunes, and the Google Play Store. You can subscribe, like, and review. This is our weekend recap show. Again, back tomorrow and Wednesday this week, off on Thursday and Friday, and we'll be doing the daily recap podcast. So, Steve, any final words for the people for show number 200?
Stay cool out there. It's in the words of Rod Thomas, it's a hot one. So,
Rod Thomas with Carlos Santana.
Yes, smooth. An old-time classic.
Thank you for the continued support. Trevor Bauer, play us out. You don't know me. You don't know me. Why not? You judge me on appearance. You don't judge me on my merits because you don't know me. Nope. You don't know me. Why not? You hide behind a mask to facilitate attacks, but you don't know me. You won't know me.